Proverbs tonight. Chapter 4 is where we are. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're in verse 10. Proverbs 4, verse 10. So I'm taking chapter 4 in three sections. This is section number 2. So let's read the text and see if we can learn or benefit tonight. It says, "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her. She is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Don't go in it. Don't go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they cannot, the wicked, they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone to stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness. They drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous, it's like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So three sections. I said last week, section number 1 was 1 through 9 was the gift of wisdom. This section here is the guidance of wisdom. It guides us in the direction we ought to go. The last section will be the guarding of wisdom. So tonight, as we look at the guidance of wisdom, I want you may not have caught it just in a one reading type thing. So I want to bring out and make attention to these words in the text. So just listen to these words and I'll call out the verse numbers. I'm just going to do this quite quickly, and I think you'll get the sense of what's going on. Here's the words in our text. Way, paths, verse 11. Walk, step, run, stumble, verse 12. Path, walk, way, verse 14. Go, pass, verse 15. Stumble, verse 16. Path, verse 18. Stumble, verse 19. All of these words that are in this text have to do with a journey, walking, moving. You're either stumbling or walking on solid ground. Life is moving and you are traveling along its course, whether you want to or not. We're all traveling on life's course here. And the question then becomes, but what path am I on? Every one of us is on a path. But what path are we on? We want to be on the path of wisdom. My thesis tonight is that the wise person, embraces a narrow path. And they hate the broad way. On the other hand, fools embrace the broad way and they hate the narrow way. There is no other way. It's broad or narrow. There's not the medium way or the middle class way. So you only get one or two options here. So you have to take one or the other. All right. So we'll look at these tonight in order. Number one, wisdom's direction. I don't know how and I don't even know why, but every point, subpoint I have starts with an R. That's the way it goes. Number one, under wisdom's direction, receive. Receive. Verse 10, you see the text there. "Hear, my son, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many." The responsibility of the wise person is to receive the words of wisdom. Accept them, receive them, welcome them. In a recent sermon, I told you it's kind of like a text message. And you receive it, but it doesn't necessarily mean you approved of it. Or you get a letter in the mailbox, you received it. But it doesn't necessarily mean you approved it. In Acts chapter 2, when they heard Peter's sermon, they received it and approved it. That's what the wise person does. When the word of truth, God's word, the wisdom of God, is given to the person, the wise person that's on the narrow path, not only receives that word, they say, amen, I approve, and I'm going to apply that word. And the neat thing about this, for those who receive it and those who approve it, it comes with a promise. And the promise is what? That you would have a long, not only long, but a full life. You live life to the absolute full, which seems to be the desire of most of humanity. They're trying to figure out how to be happy, how to be full, all of these types of things. Hello, let's look at wisdom, receive it and approve it. And it comes with the promise of God that you can have life long and to the full. Secondly, under wisdom's direction is remember. It's to remember. Verse 11, he says, Solomon to his son, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. In this verse, you have verbal teaching, if you will, from a father to a son. But it's not just the words that come out of his mouth. It's also the example by which could be followed. I have led. I taught you and I led you. You know the old things we used to say at church. We say one thing, at home we do something else. That's not it. We teach and lead where the ones who are under us get something proper to imitate. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to a bunch of verses tonight, but if you would, in this one spot, turn to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll also do Hebrews 13:7. But in 2 Timothy 1, what a blessing, in verse number 5. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Why is he sure? Because his grandmother and his mother taught him. And not only did they teach him, they led him. And these things benefited him in having this stable faith. And if you look down at verse 13, follow the pattern of the sound words that you heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Wisdom's direction, receive it, approve it. Those who are over you, pastors, elders, Sunday school teachers, moms, dad, grandmas and grandpas, those who would sow into your life sound biblical counsel, remember it. Take it in. You know what you've been taught in church, in Sunday school, from the pulpit, in your daily readings, in your family times at home. You know what you've been taught. Hang on to that. And look at those who are over you, who are living out their faith, and remember that, where in every situation, you'll know how to respond, how to act, how to speak, because you've seen it modeled in those who have invested in your life. Receive it, remember it. Verse 12, there is a reward for this. In verse 12, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Progress. You will continue to go forward and nothing will impede you. How can you continue to make progress in your Christian faith? By continually receiving and approving the truth of God, by remembering what you've been taught and looking at the examples in the ways that others have led you in the Christian faith. Those people continue to make progress in their Christian journey. There's a word, I had never heard this word in my entire life, and I'm not sure that I can pronounce it. Anabasis. I may be off just a little bit, but anabasis. It's a weird word. And it's an idiom that has a progression. The word means it's a progression for walking to running. Wisdom's reward will be seen in swifter progress as one matures in the things of God. Okay? So think about it this way. We'll pick on Jack. I say pick on him. We'll just use him as an example. And you can relate it to whatever field that you're in. But I would venture to say that on Jack's first day of plumbing, he wasn't as quick as he is now. Now think, he might move slower now, but he's faster. You say, how so? Because he's made 15 billion mistakes along the life of the plumber. And now he knows, don't do that, but do that, because he's learned over the years. And so the decision-making process is quicker and more specific, because that's what wisdom does. Just in that common sense illustration, that's Christianity. How many foolish things did I do as an immature Christian? How many bonehead decisions did I make? But receiving and approving instruction, remembering what I've been taught, looking at the examples that have gone before me, living life to the full, I'm finding that I'm making a lot better progress, and I'm not doing near as much. If you wanted another illustration, it just flashes in my mind. But at seminary, they had racquetball courts. You could play for free. My friend Greg Hammock, he was about 400 pounds and 5'10" and slow as a turtle. And we'd go in there and play racquetball, and he beat the living daylights out of me. I think I lost every game I played with that man. And I was like, I get through with a game, and I ran 5 miles in one game. I don't think he's moved yet. He was a lot smarter than me, and he just knew where to hit the ball. I'm running all over the place. This is the thing here in Christianity. As we continue, we progress, and we get swifter and clearer and more mature. Thus, we become more wise. Receive, remember, there's a reward. Life to the full. And then there's a resolve. Look at verse 13. Here's your resolve, church. This resolve never goes away. Make this your life verse, if you will. Keep hold of instruction. Grab a hold of it. Do not let it go. Guard her. Why? She is your life. This word, keep hold, is interesting. I look at the Greek word, I look at the Hebrew word, and I put both words together. The Greek word has to do with taking hold of in order to make it one's own. So if this was not my book, I'm taking a hold of it, I'm grabbing onto it, I'm holding on it to make it mine. To take hold of and to take possession of something. But the Hebrew word has the flavor of making something strong. Make yourself strong by holding on to something. So I'm holding on to these weights up and down to make my muscles stronger. So I'm going to grab something to make it mine. I'm going to hold on to it in order that I can be stronger. Take hold of instruction. Don't let it go. And it will be your strength. Here's the situation. This happens in my life. I know what to do. I'm resolved. I know how to stand. I know what I'm going to stand on. I've been taught the Word of God. I received the Word of God. I approve the Word of God. This is what my leaders have told me. I've saw it modeled in their life, and I have no questions about it. Here I am. You want an example? I'll give you an example. I have a teenage daughter. She turned 19 yesterday, and there's no boyfriend. There's no guys on the scene. We sit down and we have this talk. This is what you do. This is how you respond. This is what happens when a boy comes up to you. So one day my girl's walking through Target in Lake Worth. She's walking through Target and these two teenage boys in the store. She's never seen in her life walking around. And one of the boys comes up to her and says, hey, will you go out with me? And she said, no. Why not? You have to talk to my daddy. Well, where's your daddy? He's at church. You'll have to see him at church. By the Word Baptist Church in Azle, you talk to my daddy. Until you talk to him, I'm not talking to you. Conversation over. Why? She's received the instruction. She's remembered the instruction. She knows that she's going to have a long life by heeding to the instruction. And so when the situation just pops out of nowhere, she didn't have to think. I know what to say. You ain't talking to me till you talk to my daddy. That's wisdom. Received and approved and applied. Guard that. Guard it is to keep evil out and to preserve the good that one has. You know what that boy said to her? He said, well, I'll see your daddy on Sunday. That boy had never been to this church because he's a liar and a deceiver. And I don't even know who he is. Right. So you want to protect. You have to receive wisdom. Now, if you want an example of this idea of holding on and guarding wisdom, I put it this way. If you can conceive of cannons, shells and bullets being good, it'll work for you. You build a castle wall, put the wall all around your city there to keep the enemy out. You build a big high wall. You put ramparts all the way around it in order to keep the enemies out. At the same time, you make sure and inspect your guns on a regular basis to make sure they shoot and you have ammunition. Build a wall, work on the inside in order to guard yourself against evil. One point of application for wisdom's direction. Just one point. Wisdom is found in this book. Wisdom is modeled in the person of Christ. Wisdom is proclaimed by the apostles. Wisdom is exemplified in the saints who have gone before us. Thus, it behooves Christians to fully engage themselves in these sources in order that they can travel down the right road. So that's what we do. We invest our life where wisdom is found. We receive it, we approve it, we remember it, we look to those who model it, and we put it into our lives to guard ourselves from evil and to keep it out. Secondly, wickedness's direction. You had wisdom's direction, now you have wickedness's direction. Verses 14 through 17. Again, they're all ours. Number one, refrain. Verse 14, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Refrain from it. I'll give you biblical examples. It says, refrain from it. Don't walk in it. There's a young man by the name of Joseph. Joseph's sold into slavery. He gets favor with Potiphar. He's in charge of Potiphar's house. And everything's under his charge. And the only thing that has not been given to him is Potiphar's wife. And there she is saying, come lie with me. Come lie with me. And you know the classic line. It's the line of wisdom that says, no, I refrain. I am not going to lie with you. How can I do this great evil and sin against my God? There's nobody in the house. There's nobody can see. God sees. God's watching the whole thing. And I refrain from this. And I'm running. Even if you grab my cloak and hang on to it, I ain't coming back. I refrain from even the view of looking like something is wrong, refrain. On the other hand, you have a guy by the name of Demas who was in love with the present world. And he hung on to worldly things and carnal things, cost him his soul. So refrain. The next word's much like refrain. It's the word reject. Verse 15, very clear. There's nothing unclear about the text. It's not, you don't have to go to seminary to figure out this next verse. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. It's just a full outright rejection of that which is not godly. I am not participating. Let it go. Have nothing to do with it. It's like Solomon later says. He says this about the adulterous woman. You could apply it to other subjects. But this is what he says about the adulterous woman in Proverbs 7, verse 25. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Absolute rejection of the immoral culture of the world we live in. I reject it on the phone. I reject it on the social media. I reject it on the TV. I reject it in my culture. I reject it in my house. I reject it across the board because it's not of God. Reject it. Throw it away. Avoid it like the plague. You remember back in the day when COVID was rampant and everybody's running around scared, pulling up masks, pulling down masks, hiding in a corner? Yeah, take that approach to the wickedness of this world. I don't want nothing to do with it. Make your stand. I'm against it. Sergeant York, I'm against it. Reject it outright. Verse 16, here's the reason. Here's the reason. Verse 16. Because they, the wicked, they just can't sleep unless they've done wrong. They're robbed of sleep unless they've made someone stumble. I don't know the chapter and verse and all that, but it's in the book of Acts. You remember? We're not going to sleep. We're not going to cut our hair until we kill Saul, kill Paul. Until we shed blood, we're not going to be happy. The entire motive of the wicked is to make you stumble. make you stumble. That's what they're doing. No matter how they couch it, listen to these things. These are just short phrases, and I'm not going to work all these out. You live in the world, you know. The entire industry of alcohol. Do you honestly think the entire industry of alcohol truly is concerned with your happiness? Do you really think they want you to be fulfilled and happy? That's their goal? There's no way that's their goal. What about the whole industry of gambling? Do they want you to be financially secure? No, their whole business is built on you losing. Why are their buildings so big? Because they take all your money. This is what they do. Think about prostitution. Think about drugs. Think about immorality. On and on and on. It is all built on the deception of providing happiness. But in actuality, it's only producing death every time. That's what it does. And they will not be content until they succeed in killing everybody. It's going to continue on the billboards and all the publicity in order to destroy you if they can. And by the way, the Septuagint, the word there actually does mean death. All right. Number four, fourth point under wickedness's direction is rotten. Rotten. Verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. Now, what is involved in the word wickedness? This word includes being guilty of crime, guilty of hostility, either to God or to God's people, guilty of sin, either against God or man. And that's what they feed on to live their lives. That's what they do. That's their whole lifestyle. Then you have that attached to the word violence. Violence is anything contrary to the law. It's rude. It's noisy. Ruthlessness. In the book of Job that we're reading through as a church right now, a man by the name of Eliphaz, he describes these men this way. And you'll remember, I think you'll remember the last line of this verse. But Eliphaz says this: behold, God puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight. How much less one who is abominable and corrupt, a man who drinks injustice like water. They're just outright rotten. So wisdom's direction gives us clear way to walk. Wickedness's direction gives us a clear thing to absolutely reject, to abstain, and to turn away from. It's not like, in Christianity, it's like people want to figure out how I can balance sin and righteousness and hold both. You can't. It's not working. God's position, wickedness, outright rejection. Righteousness, full embrace. You can't have both. You can't, as they say on the farm, straddling the fence does a lot of harm. Application, one point. The Christian is responsible. You are responsible. Oh, this is going to go really well with the woke crowd and the inclusive religious people, but the Christian is responsible for rejecting the culture. Reject the culture. Oh, we got to make the culture feel welcome here. No, I don't want the culture to be welcome here. I want the culture, when they come in, to be confronted with the holiness of God and the purity of His truth. And you know, if the culture's accepted here, you might as well call the place First Baptist Walmart. I talked to a pastor today, just a couple hours or so ago, up in Plano area. And he's just devastated by all the churches around and all the entertainment and all the inclusivism. It's like, no. That's not the position. Reject the culture. Expose the deception. Travel upstream against the tide of carnality and avoid all appearance of evil. Avoid it. Right? Wickedness's direction will lead you to death. Lastly, last two verses, a wise declaration. A wise declaration. But the path of the righteous, verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Now, I've added a little bit on this verse in my thinking, but It's like this. The righteous people, this is what they look like. There's this light of dawn, and it gets brighter and brighter until the midday sun. So I would say that regeneration has this effect. The initial light of regeneration, giving you a new heart and right spirit, is sunrise. That's the dawn. A light bulb comes on. And life is changed. But somewhere as the person grows, he grows to the point of the midday sun in all its blazing glory. It's getting brighter and brighter and brighter until straight up 12 in all of its glory. And then as it begins to go down, this is the part I added, but as it goes down, this impressive light of sunset, you know, it has a different color. Look at the sunrise. Look at the sunset. And the colors are different. Maybe it's just my opinion, but there's something softer about the sunset than about the sunrise. So what I see is the birth of the Christian getting brighter and brighter and brighter as he walks the path of wisdom. As he begins to get closer and closer to heaven, he becomes a little calmer, a little more humble, a little bit wiser in his dealings, and his color is just a little more beautiful than when he started. This is the array of the Christian life who is wise. Or if you want it from 1 John, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause of stumbling. Now the other part is verse 19, the way of the wicked. Well, it's like a deep darkness. They don't even know what they stumble over. So we had regeneration. And since I can't get away from the letter R, these people are rayless. They got no light ray. They're blind, thus dark. They're bankrupt. They don't even know what they stumble over. And they're boneheads because they keep stumbling over stuff they would see if they would embrace the truth. The contrast is here established. Wicked people, not like the sunrise and the midday sun and the sun setting. They're not like that. The wicked people are like a cave. You ever been hiking up in some mountains? You go with my two boys, Joshua and Caleb. You see a cave. You couldn't tie those boys up in hog time. They're getting in that cave, see what's in there. But when you go in that cave, it's dark. And the farther you go, the darker it gets. That's the way it is with wicked people. The more you get to know them, you find out just how dark and wicked they are. They're so blind, they don't even know what they keep tripping over. The light comes in the world, they reject it. Look, think about it. They reject the light. Your position is to reject the darkness. Jesus raises a dead man. They try to figure out how to kill him. It's just, I mean, it makes no sense. God comes in clothed in human flesh. We don't want this man to rule over us. Just absolute foolery. So in application for this last section of wise declaration, here's some phrases, just short little phrases. They're not new. They're not going to end. It's the same deception that goes around and has gone around forever. Have a drink. Suck on this cigarette. Look at these pictures. It's classic. God just wants you to be happy. I couldn't find that verse, but anyways, he just wants you to be happy, meaning a justification of sinfulness. Right? Everybody does it. Everybody's doing it. It's fine. Listen to this. Watch this video. Buy this thing. Scratch this ticket. I won $20 last week. Scratch this ticket. Feed this machine. It might spit out your reward. Hey, max out your credit card. Because why? Because God wants you to be happy. Buy some stuff. Hey, it's only 21% interest. Our country is $68 billion in debt. So what does it matter? Just claim bankruptcy when you get tired of it and don't ever pay it back. That's what they say. Talk this way, dress that way, and a billion other things constantly swarming around us. But wisdom's direction and the path of receiving and approving and remembering and following a godly example Let us learn the wisdom of Christian and faithful, who walk into Vanity Fair, into the place that all men must walk. They have a different language, they have a different dress, and they don't care about the materialism of Vanity Fair. And they say, we buy truth. That's the position. That's the narrow path that we're to walk. Well, the old saying remains true, I think. It's not in the Bible, but it is a truthism. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Everybody agree with that? I think it's pretty common sense. Well, the preacher can lead you to an infinite well of wisdom, but I can't make you receive it and apply it. But I know it's right. Not only do I know it's right intellectually, I know it's right experientially, because I've discovered these things in some 50 years of Christianity or 48 years of Christianity. It's true because God's Word says it's true. Those who will not be guided by the wisdom of God, well, you'll just be led by the foolishness of men. In closing, I think of guys that have told me some hard things in my life, and I didn't like it. Told me I was wrong, told me not to go this way, but to go this way, but I wanted to go that way. It offended me, those types of things, but I'm thankful for somebody that would tell me the truth. And here's the thing. You ever find you a preacher? If you need counsel and he says, this is what the Bible says and this is the way to walk, the best thing that you could possibly do is to submit to his counsel and follow it. Why would you do that? Because your pastor loves you and because the truth is the only thing that's going to bless you. But if you're going to reject the truth that is given and embrace the things of the world, you really don't have a leg to stand on to whine about your circumstance. Right? Okay, I'll give one more deal. Preacher friend, some of you have heard me tell you this before. Preacher friend of mine down south had a family in his church. Man, faithful. He was a deacon. Family's good. They're always there. And all of a sudden, they started missing on Sunday. They missed one Sunday, and then they missed another Sunday. And they started missing a bunch of Sundays. Lo and behold, the guy's daughter started playing softball. He was always at the softball game. And then one day, he gets a phone call. We need to have a meeting. Family comes in. We need counsel. What do you need counsel for? My daughter's pregnant. And the preacher looks at the guy and he says, I suggest you call your softball coach and get some counsel. That's who you've been listening to. Listening to the world, and now your daughter's pregnant. You'd be far better off to listen to a man of God preach the Word of God to show you the wise road to walk and embrace it in order that you could have life to the full. Father in heaven, I thank you for By the Word Baptist Church. I pray you bless them. I pray you encourage them. And Lord, we're on this journey together, the way, the path, the walk, the run, the stumble. We're all in this journey. Help us to make the journey on the straight road, on the narrow road. Help us not to turn to the right. Help us not to turn to the left. Whether we walk through the valley of despair, whether we walk through the shadows, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Help us to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him and is good for our own souls. Lord, help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage each other all the more as we see the day approaching to walk this way. Help us as a whole to be guided by your perfect and infinite wisdom. And even this week as we go out to our jobs, our families, and all the different things that we do, may we be a people who are led by a master who cares for our souls. We pray these things by your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.